Welcome to the first ever episode of Room Techers. This is a podcast under Room Temp, and we'll be bringing all the soccer action to you hopefully once a week. I'm Matt Vogel, joined by Brendan McAdams, and we're really looking forward to getting this started. I like Room Temp as much as the next guy, but I needed some more soccer talk in my life, and that's what we're going to do. Today we're going to just touch on some of the big leagues around Europe and see how they're doing, how our teams are, and how our teams are doing from a fan perspective. How you doing, Mickey?
How's it going, Matt? Nice to be here.
Happy to have you here, too. I guess we'll just kind of jump right into it. This is sort of our first, we're not going to really do any testing or anything like that. We're kind of just dive right in here.
Spitballing.
Yeah, so Premier League, we'll start there. Big games coming up. Not really. There's really only one this weekend.
Yeah, Man U Tottenham. I'm expecting United to just shut it in and hope that Harry Kane doesn't score a million goals on them because they don't really play teams in the top five, but
no. And that
hopefully I'll be wrong.
That classic Mourinho park the bus bullshit that he plays too, where it's he packs it in with nine guys in the box, and I mean not for anything it works with Lukaku sitting up top on top of the eight or top of the half line, and he just clear balls out to him all day.
I mean, what was it? $250 million this summer? I mean, it's just like any other manager in the world would be having them playing some like awesome soccer, and it would be impossible to hate them, but he delivers without fail, and I just can't stand that team.
I can't stand watching players like Anthony Martial and like Rashford and Mkhitaryan on the wings when they have the ball, and instead of just, I mean, Martial does it every once in a while where he just takes on defenders, beats them, and like, you actually see some cool soccer being played between them even on their offense and the offensive third. But his style just seems to be more like, let's just play way more direct rather than have some fun with it.
But and what makes it even more frustrating is that earlier in the season when they're playing these teams in the bottom half of the table, like they're moving it around, like they're playing some really pretty soccer on the top of the box, and they're scoring for fun. And then he just has no interest in taking any risks against teams that have the potential to counter or to dictate play. So yeah. He'd rather just go for the point away and just keep racking up those goals against bottom feeders.
Yeah, as soon as, like you just said, as soon as there's any risk that their team might do bad poorly or not get the goal or something like that, it's just, oh, nope, we're going to sit back and make sure we're going to play it safe. And I think that, I don't know, as a player, that must be frustrating because you're like, why am I sitting back on defense? Like, our team could clearly compete with pretty much anyone in Europe. You have, like, strength, you have skill. And, I mean, you have tons of speed, too. I mean,
I just think that, I mean, just taking that Liverpool game, for example, like, it ended 0-0, but, I mean, Liverpool controlled that game, and it was due to their own lack of finishing quality that no mm-hmm. goals were scored. Like, De Gea obviously had that amazing kick save.
That was awesome.
I'll never forgive Madrid for not getting him on deadline day, but, I mean, going back to the locker room, you must think, like, why won't you let us play? Like, why do you think that we can't come here and get the points? Like, I don't know. Like, I know that Pogba isn't there. I know that Herrera wasn't there. But still, like, that's got to be disheartening.
You got, like, some of the biggest weapons in Europe, especially with Lukaku, too. That man bangs in goals. He's, like, 6'4 and faster than most defenders, too. So, I don't get it. But just for everyone's clarification, Brendan here is a huge Liverpool fan, and I myself am a huge Chelsea fan, just to give you guys our preferences before we get too biased here.
There's going to be a lot of United slander until they start playing good football, and then as soon as they start playing well, I'll recognize it, but until then, they're getting this.
Oh yeah, and they totally deserve it too. They haven't done anything to impress me. Even going as far back as the EuroLeague final last year, when we saw them play against Ajax, they went up 1-0 early, and then I saw 10 guys in their box from like 65 on, and I was like, "What are you doing? How is that a dominating performance? You had one goal, And then after the once the second half really started, you kind of just teetered out and, okay, cool, we got the goal, that's it. And Ajax looked...
A bunch of 20-year-olds.
Their average starting age on their starting lineup last year, I think, was like 20.8 years old or something like that. I was like, what? Like, you can't beat up...
It's a bunch of juniors in college for people keeping track.
Like, yeah, like, you can't beat up a couple juniors in college and go up by more than one goal and then expect it... I don't know. It makes me upset. Then you have the other Manchester who is just playing lights out this season, and
if you're just getting into soccer, just be a City fan this year. Like they're so much fun to watch. Like if there's nothing, like if Liverpool isn't playing, like I will still get up for a City game. Like,
oh yeah,
like Jesus is unreal. Raheem Sterling, the one that got away. Mm-hmm. Kevin De Bruyne, like. Maybe player of the year already. Like he's got to be a favorite. I mean, some of these passes are like they're beautiful. Like,
he's mastered the low cross.
Yeah, puts it on dimes, and they've managed to stack their forward line with people who are very good at doing that.
They play West Brom this weekend, so
thoughts and prayers.
Yeah, thoughts and prayers to the West Brom fans and players. That's just going to end poorly for you. Liverpool plays Huddersfield. Huddersfield actually known to surprise a team or two, and this is, I think, actually going to end up being a pretty difficult team for Liverpool.
I'm not looking forward to this game. I'm predicting, like, I don't know, maybe two or three shots on net by Huddersfield.
Two or three goals go in.
Mickey
ends up getting drunk Saturday at, like, noon.
I mean, maybe. Like, who knows? Like, that back line, oh my God, just...
Just buy a center back.
Just buy, literally, that's January, like, shell it out. Like, you own the Red Sox, like, you can pay an exorbitant amount of money for a player that you really need. Like, just do it.
Do you get Chieda in January or the other year?
No.
June, right?
They've been floating around, though, that if, like, they might go back in January and be like, yo, all right, here's another $10 million, like,
give us
please. Like, please. Please. Like, we have fans. Like, we need to save this
every
season.
Every chance probably leaving for Juve.
Yeah, and I was thinking about that when I was walking over. Like, if I was him, like, I'd want to get out of there. Like, you look at Liverpool, like, the last near, it's coming on 10 years. Mm-hmm. It's coming on 10 years since that second place finish with Torres, and it's nearly 5 years that second place finish with Suarez. Like, Liverpool gets nearly there, and then all of the good players leave. Like, if you're an upcoming, if you're a young player that's coming up, like, you want to be playing with the best players in their prime, so you can learn from them and get to that. And like, when Coutinho leaves in the summer, like, John's gonna look around and be like, "All right, well, what am I doing here? Like, yep. I'm one of the best players here, and I'm not as good as I want to be. I can't learn here."
And Juve missed out on Matic last summer. They're gonna be willing to pay a decent price for Emery Chansu to get him onto the team if that's who they, you know, decide on going with. I mean, Juve is not afraid to show off the cash when they need to.
Dude, his contract is up at the end of the season.
Oh, even worse for you.
Like, yeah, no, he's gone. Like, as soon as we didn't get a contract on him this summer, he was like, all right, well...
That's it.
It's a wrap.
I mean, if you're going to...
I wish I could be surprised.
If we're going to talk about a team that's on the up and up, it's definitely Man City. We already mentioned it a few times. They're 32 goals, only 4 conceded in 9 EPL games this season. Like, not... I wrote down what the hell in my notes, like, where's that coming from? And then I realized that you just gave Pep Guardiola 1 year. You just give that man 1 year.
Big budget and just, like, the time to just text all these, like, 20-year-old, like, prodigies, be like, hey, do you want to, like, maybe be the next Messi?
They respond Brazilian, doesn't matter.
I'd like that very much. So.
Yeah, Aguero actually, I'm not even knocking wood, I don't care. You got Aguero actually healthy for like the first time in however many years of his life.
You're not asking him to do workhorse minutes. Like, they have two legitimate number nines versus, like, well, one of them's gonna score. Like,
yep.
It really doesn't matter.
Yeah, that front three without Aguero in the game is still one of the most deadly in the freaking league with Sterling, Sané, and Jesus. So the three of them are just ridiculous.
Who's that little Brazilian they just got from Monaco?
Bernardo Silva on the right. He's like a young David Silva who they still also have on their team.
Yeah, I mean, they just whatever combination they have, like, they have 6 or 7 players that they can fit into those front three spots. they can rotate through them. Early substitutions. It's like, all right, he just doesn't have it today. Like,
yeah,
like deal with this dude. Like fresh legs.
And you can watch the way that they play too. It's with what much more control. There's almost never urgency in their team coming out of the back. I mean, they can counterattack because Sané is like one of the fastest players in the world, and I mean, Jesus is like, their whole team is fast from that front. That front line is so fast. De Bruyne's not a slow guy either, and
I think that back five, as you call it, like I think that has been like a year with that.
Give Johnny Stones a year.
I mean,
I'd say he's a top three center back in the league right now.
Johnny Stones has balls. Shout out to Pep.
As soon as he said that.
Yeah. Yaya Toure, obviously, like, a much smaller role. That midfield, like, looks like it actually has a purpose now, whereas last year it's like, well, this isn't what we always used to do, so we don't really know what you want from us.
Well, and now with a decent amount of English teams playing well in the Champions League, it's pretty cool to hear the discussion of, like, oh, what's the typical thing when you hear what's the best league in the world, you think English Premier League in your head. But the last couple of years, what do you have to substantiate that? If you don't have any English teams making knockout stages in the Premier in the Champions League, and now
Man City was quarterfinals last year.
Yep, and then Chelsea actually has probably done the most consistently well in the Champions League in the last decade. But even then, we haven't won it since, was it 2012? I think we won
2012, and United made it, won in 2009. They made it in 2011. They got embarrassed by Barcelona.
Yeah. They haven't done well, and now you have a number of EPL teams, and I think every single one of them is leading their group. Man U is, Chelsea is right now over Roma with Atletico Madrid.
Tottenham might be in second with
They're tied almost straight up with Real. Man City's crushing their group. And Liverpool is winning their group as well. Yeah, Tottenham and Real Madrid are tied on goal differential and on points with 7 each. And they're in with Real Madrid and Dortmund too. So
poor Dortmund.
It's pretty cool to see how well the EPL teams are finally doing.
I'm holding my breath. Like, I mean, I'm fully expecting all four teams to go through, but the knockout stage is really where I'm going to be judging it because...
Well, you had said pre-show too. Manchester City PSG would be awesome.
Please.
That would be so cool.
Please. So, like, the later, the better.
Mm-hmm.
PSG, yeah. Like.
PSG, how about that Neymar red card?
Let's talk about it. Yeah. Because, I mean, I didn't watch that whole game, but I caught the end of it, and it looked like one of those games where it's like, when Neymar has the ball, we are going to hack him, we're going to shove him, like, he's getting cleats, like... And usually in those games, the ref, like, they keep the cards in their pockets for whatever reason. It's just like, well, like, I can't have you guys playing with 8 men. And, he got, the whistle finally blew after the third foul in a sequence of plays. He got hacked down, and then he shoved the dude, and the dude grabbed his face and hit the deck. It was kind of ironic that he got sent off because of a dive from another player, but... I don't know. Like, what do you think refs or teams should do in that situation where it's just, like, we know that you are, like, this one player makes you guys tick and we're just going to hack you? Like,
I think that a team who does that should be prepared for getting carded. I don't think that sort of, like, targeting technique, I think that just kind of proves that you're a lesser team. But, like, I don't think that... I think it happens everywhere when a player is playing fantastic.
Oh, yeah, I mean,
and
Madrid lived off of that with Messi for years.
For years, and so many teams live off like that against Messi. But, like, Messi still finds... I mean, the reason Messi is arguably, like, the best player of all time is because he still scores. He doesn't, like, bitch and moan about it like Neymar does. Not always. I mean, he does.
Yeah, Neymar's getting better about it.
Neymar's getting better about it.
I'm pretty sure he had a goal before he got sent off.
And that's how you respond if you're a player, I think. Your response should be, let me not, like, bitch and moan about it. Let me get up, and I'm still going to show you that even if you hack at me, I'll mag you 3 times, rainbow your goalie, and then kick it in the goal. Like, I'll still score. Like, I'll still do better than you, even if you do this.
It's definitely on the refs then, because, like you can I understand where he's coming from when it's like, bro, like, I've been fouled, like, 10 or 11 times this game, and only one card's been given out. Like,
yep.
Something has to happen here.
And I saw this interesting thing that Neymar now has more red cards in his career at the age of 25 than Pepe does in his entire career. He has more yellow cards, too. I think he has 175 yellow cards, Neymar does. And I think Pepe has, like, 140.
So somebody on Brazilian soccer, Barcelona, Twitter that I follow, I forget what it was, but they're saying that when Neymar was at Barcelona, he would time a red card somewhere in the beginning of the beginning of the new year, like sometime in January or February, and he'd get suspended so he could go back to Brazil for his sister's birthday.
Wow.
Like, they're like, no, like, somebody's like, no, literally, like, every single year around this time,
he gets a red.
And it's either like a straight red, so it's a 3-match ban, or it's like an accumulation of yellows. And it's like, all right, guys, well.
I kind of respect that.
I mean, yeah. Like, but, I mean, just as a teammate, you just got to be like, bro, like, for real? I mean, you're a super, like, he's a superstar.
Just leave. Go hang out with your sister for a day. You can fly home and fly back.
It's like, why don't you just fly them all out to Barcelona? Like, you literally, like, your face is everywhere in Brazil. You're sponsored by everyone that matters. Like, I don't know.
Neymar shattering the world record for a transfer fee, leaving Barcelona, leaving Messi.
Messi don't care.
Messi doesn't care. In their first 7 games, it's his best start ever in a La Liga campaign. As of October 1st, after their 7th game, he had 11 goals. And at that time, his personal goal total in La Liga was the exact same amount of goals that Real Madrid, the whole team, had scored up until that point.
I think this is going to be...
And they've only conceded 3.
How old is Messi? Is he 30 yet?
I think he's 29.
I think this is going to be Messi's, like, last hurrah. Like, obviously, like, I think he's going to be around for a while, but I think that next year, Messi will be your Ballon d'Or winner. I think he's going to have a big showing in Russia with Argentina. I think this is it. Like, I think he knows that this window is closing. Like, I think he looks around and is like, all right, this is my time to, like, finally, like, put my stamp on the game. I mean... Do you think he's going to break his goal total? Like, what is it, like 84? Like,
no, he's 90-something.
Like,
he broke Gerd Müller's record, who was 88 in 2012, 13, whatever the hell it was. Yeah, he broke 88.
If he keeps scoring 91. Like this.
Yeah.
I mean. Never say never, but.
Never say never, especially with Messi. But, like.
I mean, the offense, like, legitimately seems to be going, like, through him. Like.
And it's turning into, like, that Russell Westbrook thing where he's like, oh. Like, no one else around me is going to score. I guess I'll just do everything myself. And, I mean, and it's
working. I am very much here for it, though.
Yeah, I am too. And, I mean, last season, we talked about how, we just talked in general, like, how they were on the decline with if Neymar leaves. And last season, we saw them just play, like, horrible games.
Backline was garbage.
Yeah. So how are they...
was spineless.
Where's that change coming from? I mean, they signed Usman Dembele, who's, like, 10 years old, and then they signed Paulinho.
Hurt immediately.
And then Paulinho, who was like, he's pretty good, he's not like...
He was a Tottenham reject who was playing in China.
Yeah, let's call it what it is.
Let's call it what it is. And I mean, he was a panic buy when Coutinho didn't come through.
And they've only conceded 3 goals in the league, so it's pretty wild to me that for some... And, I mean, they got rid of Luis Enrique, so maybe the change in the coaching was it. Or maybe it was just, like I said, or maybe it's just Messi just being that goddamn dominant.
I mean... Once you lose the locker room, like, it trickles down all the way through. I want to say that Matuidi is playing, like, a much bigger role this season as a center back. I mean, he's finally, like, coming into his own.
You mean Mascherano?
He's a stud. No, Matuidi.
On Juve?
No, Umtiti. Not Matuidi. He's finally, like, coming into his own. I mean, they signed him from somewhere in France, like, 3 years ago when he was...
Yeah.
Really young, there's like, all right, well, you're going to learn how to play defense for Barcelona.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's showing it.
And then you got...
Midfield still isn't getting any younger, though.
No.
Like...
Paulinho's not yet young. Iniesta's old.
And the fact that I can't, like, off the top of my head, I can't really think of, like, any of their young players that are coming through.
Sergio Roberto, maybe.
Lighting it up, but, like, not really, though. Like, no. We've been hearing his name for the last, like... 3 years, and it's still like, yeah, like his breakout's coming. Yeah.
He's a good box-to-box Xavi wannabe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's all cyclical, but...
And then you got Real Madrid, who's just not really scoring. Not scoring, but they're not doing that well. I mean, is this an actual team issue, or is it just kind of Ronaldo's problem.
Well, they're only five. They're only 5 points back. I was surprised when I looked at the goal differential and saw that they haven't even, they haven't hit 20 goals yet in the league. I'm really expecting them to click though. Ronaldo had that mild injury, like a couple weeks in, took it off, and it seems like he's kind of in like that drought that strikers get into, where it's just like, yo, I need this thing to like go off my thigh and like off the goalie, off the post, and into the net. Yep. Like I just need to see it go in. He's too good though. I'm not really worried about.
He just won FIFA Player of the Year.
FIFA Player of the Year. Neymar's taking selfies with him.
Another thing, not a single English Premier League player was on any of the shortlists for that.
Looking at last year, like, I can't, like...
No.
It's like we were saying, like, yeah, there's really good players, but, like, they're not showing up in the Champions League, so... Like, those FIFA lists really are determined by European competition.
Which I think that should definitely be a strong factor in it. I mean, sure, you can play. It's the same thing for a team like PSG, who, for all things considered, League One is not a hard league in comparison. The bottom half of that League One is not very competitive at all compared to the top half. And a team like PSG should win the league every single year. And they have pretty much steadily over the course of the last 5 years. If you're going to gauge a team like that, it's like that Wichita State complex for NCAA basketball, where it's like, oh, you guys went 31-0. Who the hell did you play? And then when it comes to the tournament time, you're like, oh, like you guys can actually ball. And like same thing with PSG when they reach the knockout stage, just when they actually play, and you're like, wow, a player on that team could actually be considered for one of these European awards because they actually know how to compete in Europe. So,
yeah, I was worried after that Barcelona leg that they were gonna. I thought that was gonna bug that team for a really long time, but I mean. I guess if you go and buy like the player that orchestrates that comeback, like that kind of negates it. I mean,
and Mbappe.
Yeah, and Mbappe. That was really Neymar's. I thought that was really Neymar's coming out party, though. Like, I mean, I know that the PK was bullshit, blah blah blah, but I mean, he just took that game over. Like the PK was gorgeous, the free kick was unbelievable. Unreal. I mean,
I'm interested to see.
I've been really waiting for a game like that where, I mean, we've seen him, like, take games and be the goal scorer and be the main man, but that was...
That was it.
That was some, grab the game by the scruff of the neck stuff that, I mean...
I'm interested to see the knockout stage of this year's Champions League. It's been pretty interesting so far. From a Chelsea perspective, we're doing pretty well. We drew against Roma 3-3. That game was wild to watch. And then we play. They're our next matchup next week, upcoming.
Again, home or away?
Yeah, it's away because we.
Yeah, was that just in Chelsea?
Oh, I can't remember. But I can't.
It didn't look like it was with the track around it, so I want to say that it was in Chelsea.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. But that's going to be a good game regardless. I think we'll have N'Golo Kante back. Morata picked up an injury, but he's back in the lineup now too. We just won the one today against Everton in the Carabao Cup, which is just a domestic cup.
For anyone who doesn't know,
a terrible name. That's our sponsor.
What a terrible name, Carabao.
I think in general, looking forward to the rest of this year for Chelsea, I think that we got a couple new names. We got a couple different systems clashing a little bit, but we're somehow figuring it out again. I think we're sitting in third or fourth right now. We're sitting fourth, yeah. Which was other than Liverpool not being where Arsenal currently is in sixth place, I'm pretty sure my top six was pretty on point before the season started.
City, United, Tottenham, Chelsea, and something weird. Then Arsenal?
Yeah, Arsenal, then Watford.
Then Watford.
But I had Arsenal being in sixth and Liverpool being in fifth. And then I had Man City, Man U, Tottenham, Chelsea, Liverpool, Arsenal. Right now, it's Man City, Man U, Tottenham, Chelsea, Arsenal, and Watford. So, other than like Liverpool not fitting into that scheme right now, pretty confident that it pretty much stays that way. I think Tottenham takes over Man U, but
yeah, that team is just
a good machine, well-oiled machine.
I mean, Liverpool did them all the favors in the world last weekend, but still, yep. They just go to show, like, if you get a legitimate spine. then you can build around that.
Yep.
That should be how you build important. A team. Like, figure out that middle.
Which is what you need at Liverpool.
Yeah. So Liverpool. It's really not surprising. Like, we talked about this all summer, like, the transfer window. Like, yo, they're going to ball out. They're going to get Van Dijk. They're going to get Keita. They're going to get, a striker, which, a striker was nice. It wasn't needed, but they needed that center back. They needed that, defensive, presence, box to box, just, a midfielder that could get shit done. And one way or another, they only, Salah's been amazing. He's been fantastic, but that defense has, it's been building up to it. For the last couple of years, we've just been getting by, but Dejan Lovren has been exposed time and time again.
He's not it.
He should be a third or fourth choice at a team like Liverpool. Matip, he's been fine, but one center back, unless you're a world-class player, isn't going to change a back line. Fucking Alberto Moreno has been our best defender. That should be a feel-good story in this Liverpool season. If they got a center back and they got, the midfielder and fucking Moreno, finally came good. He's still bombing forward, but, his getting back on defense, those slide tackles are risky business, but, still, he's been performing. He was, performing well against all the strikers that he's come up against. So, really, I don't see a top four finish for them. I mean, it's a long season, yeah. But...
it's about 29 games to go.
29 games to go. Obviously, having Lallana come back from injury will be huge.
Is Mané back?
Mané is... so, they gave him 6 months, 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. He should be back in November. But Senegal called them up for their they can win their group stage. They can win their group and qualify directly. And I don't really blame them, because if I looked at them, if I was Senegal looking at Liverpool, I'd be he's predicted to be healthy as soon as the international break is over. He can probably play. And I mean, the World Cup's a big deal.
We'll get into the why, how angry. We'll probably touch upon the U.S. not making it. I mean, if Senegal makes it, that's kind of making me more pissed off that we didn't make it.
I mean, who on the U.S. is better than Sadio Mane?
Christian Pulisic. No, he's not.
But Mane's coming back soon. Hopefully he doesn't get hurt. Adam Lallana's coming back soon. That'll be huge. But I think that this season fully depends on them making it through to the group stage, and... they need to ball out in January. Yep. I know that it's not something that they do very often. It's not something that Jurgen Klopp likes to do, but not for nothing. He has to realize that his transfer strategy and the way that he likes to build a team, which worked very well in Germany,
work here.
You can kind of take summers off and be like, all right, we're still going to be a top three or four team. We can wait for pieces to fall in place. You can't do that in England. You either need to have talent that is being developed and is ready, or you need to add.
Which Liverpool, you do have a decent amount of young talent, but it's too young talent.
Yeah, I mean, I think Joe Gomez is going to come through.
Alexander-Arnold's not terrible.
Yeah.
He's just, he makes
18-year-old mistakes. Yeah. Ben Woodburn.
Yep.
He's being hyped up. He's playing awesome for Wales. I don't want to see him anywhere near a starting lineup for at least 2 years.
Solanke's still young too. I think he's 22.
I'd like to be seeing him getting more playing time. Yep. The way that our front line plays is just
the FA Cup.
Yeah, FA Cup. Getting knocked out of the Carabao was
whatever.
I mean, it is a whatever. I don't care that we're not going to win it, but it was more of a god damn it. Those were supposed to be games that mm-hmm. these kids were supposed to be playing in. So, classic Liverpool fashion. There's always next year. So
I think that's all we got for you guys today. We figured this was a good way to start it out. Just give you guys a little bit of preview of what we're about here on Room Techers.
Shout out to you if you made it to the end.
Yeah, shout out to you if you've been with us this entire time. Hopefully we weren't too boring for you guys today. We're gonna be affiliated with the Room Temp account, so make sure you follow us at Room Temp Show. This will be live on our Podomatic account as soon as we mix this thing and get it up for you. Shout out to Jackson Marino, always supplying us with the beats. You're actually incredible for being so young too. Good for you, man. we'll join you guys next week, or you join us, or however the hell it's supposed to be said.
Click subscribe, yeah, download. Click subscribe.
Hopefully we'll be getting on iTunes too. That's still in the works, but thanks for joining us, guys, on Room Techers. Have a good night.
See you guys.